This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe. Free FM 89.0, independent community media on a Sunday. Well, the weather forecast is fine apart from some evening cloud afternoon westerlies. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers developing in the morning, possibly heavy nor'westerlies developing in the morning. And the sunrise this morning at 6:30 a.m. I was up. Sunset tonight at 8:33 p.m. And we're going for a forecast high of 26 degree high at the present moment. And in the city at the moment, we have got a temperature. We're just bringing it up and we'll be with you in a couple of seconds. Just hold the fort at the moment. The Hamilton temperature at the moment is 24 degrees in the city at this present moment. The opinion is mine. What's on my mind? Column comment. The royal family in New Zealand. The disaster of the space shuttle Columbia. His most famous role as a teenage space traveller. Infamous day in New Zealand cricket. Don Everly was born. New Zealand hit parade. The chart. .org.nz. February 1971. Gary Schofield, Dwayne Porter and Trevor's Talk before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Parts of my opinion may not be too comfortable with you at the moment. Well, yesterday, as the world waited, we got another 3 million Epstein files dropped and Donald Trump's name is featured prominently. I checked left-wing media. It is something right-wing media do not cover. They only announce that the Epstein files' latest drop. But with left-wing media, they really get into it. And they've released, and it shows, that Donald Trump, your US president, is right in the thick of it. Among other names, Elon Musk. It sickens me to read what Donald Trump did. I will not say what he did to teenage girls on the radio, but he's in the thick of it. And it's thanks to left-wing American media that we see what was going on in that infamous time. Yes, Donald Trump can deny all he likes, but his name is featured. People have been howling, release the Epstein files. We've had the 2 murders in Minneapolis. A nurse and a mother. Their families are now missing a son and a daughter because of what ICE did. The man who led the ICE in Minneapolis, Greg Bovino, has been removed, but Tom Homan, the border czar, has come in. If nothing is going to change, folks, there's going to be more and more and more. And Donald Trump at this moment is trying to reinvent the elections later this year. He had his soldiers go into a voting center, taking away machines and documents. What is going on? Why isn't he being removed? When he is finally removed, he should face crimes against children. What he did and how he did it with his friends. And there is another cabinet minister of Trump's in the firing line too. We'll keep you up and we'll have comment from Gary Schofield before the afternoon is out. 3/32/323, February 1, 2026. 1974, the royal family in New Zealand, including the Queen, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Princess Anne, and Captain Mark Phillips.
Staying out late with the guys on a Saturday night. I guess that's so fine, but it don't compare with holding and touch.
Tuesday, 2003, the space shuttle Columbia explodes soon after takeoff, killing all on board.
Settle down and take the heat off. You're too busy spinning in your head. You surround me in circles. You're too eager to run further.
Actor Peter Sellers was born this day in 1921, last of the summer whiners Clegg and Wallace and Gromit. Sellers died in 2017. In 1954, actor Billy Mummy Will Robinson, Lost in Space, was born. He's 72 today. This day in 1981, the infamous underarm cricket incident. Trevor Chappell bowling by orders of Greg to Brian McKechnie.
Your questions, you haven't seen our lies. You're always asking what it's all about. Don't listen to my replies. You say to me, I don't talk enough. But when I do, I'm a fool. These times I've spent, I've realized I'm gonna shoot through and leave you. You're unbelievable.
Oh. 2007, musician Mongo Santamaria dies. This day, 1937, Don Everly, the Everly Brothers, was born. He died in 2021, along with his brother Phil. Let's remember one of their big, big hits, 1957.
Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. There goes my baby with someone new. She sure looks happy, I sure am blue. She was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye to romance, that might have been. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye, love. Bye bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye bye, my love. Goodbye. I'm through with romance. I'm through with love. I'm through with counting the stars above. And here's is through with me. Bye bye, love. Bye bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye, love. Bye bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. bye-bye, my love, goodbye. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye.
10 to 1, Cosmopolitan News and Views. I'm Bruce Scott, along with Mel Driscoll, Dwayne Porter, Gary and Trevor, before 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Everly Brothers, the late Don, with Bye Bye Love, New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org New Zealand, February 1, 1971. The number one song was My Sweet Lord with George Harrison. Number two, a song recorded by a studio group, local vocalist who had hits in the 60s, later became a record producer for a rival label. Thelma Hopkins and Joyce Vincent and Tony Orlando. The band later became Dawn, featuring Tony Orlando, and they were number two this day in New Zealand in 1971. Independent community media. I just think they've just finished, was it late last year, their farewell tour, and that is Dawn featuring Tony Orlando and Knock Three Times. It was the number two song this day in 1971 in New Zealand. Well, as I said, among things that I've seen, some of the information, the Epstein files concerning Donald Trump, it's only alleged at this present moment, but a lot of it makes me sick what he did to in that infamous trade alongside what's her name? I forget the name. Anyway, Jeffrey Epstein. Yes. And Ghislaine Maxwell, that's the woman. Plus many others. Haven't found Prince Andrew's name on that list. Sorry. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. It'll come up, but it's on American media. Look for Brian Taylor Cohen and also the Midas Media, and you'll find some of it. And I can tell you, folks, it is very sickening, alleged. It is 5 minutes to one at Free FM 89.0. Well, it was 1981, this day, that a certain cricket incident happened. It featured a double All Black in Brian McKechnie. He had been the All Black fullback, and he faced a bowl. And, of course, you know what happened.
Well, it looks to me as if they're going to bowl underarm off the last ball. Rod Marsh is saying no, mate, but I'm sure he's going to bowl an underarm delivery on the last ball and bowl it along the ground and be sure that it has not been hit for six. The umpires have been told, the batsmen have been told, and this is possibly a little bit disappointing. Let's make sure it is an underarm, but I've got the feeling it's a big ex-Victorian skipper. They're going to bowl an underarm. Have you ever believed it? And that's a disappointing finish. Disappointed Brian McKechnie, the crowd boom. And it's all over.
And of course the man at the other end was Bruce Edgar. Yes, All Black. Brian McKechnie. Remember that infamous day? And I think Prime Minister at the time, Sir Robin Muldoon, called the Australian cowards because they wore yellow. 3 minutes to one at Free FM 89.0.
Hey,
this is an early track from the late David Bowie.
Good morning, girl. Hey, good morning, girl. But I can't pass the time of day, cause I'm on my way to rest my head, and I've lost the mind that I used to have, and I don't have a dime to spare. Hey, 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 good morning, girl. Hey, hey. So go tell the man that collects your juice that you saw a guy without any shoes who would do the job if he was felt that way. Hey, hey, good morning, girl. Hey, hey, good morning, girl. Hey, hey, good morning, girl. But I can't pass the time of day. No, I can't pass the time of day.
Yeah, that is David Bowie in... It didn't last very long. That was, of course, Good Morning Girl. It was from 1966, before David Bowie became world famous as Ziggy Stardust and all the rest of them. It is coming up to 3 minutes to 1 o'clock, 3 minutes to one at Free FM 89.0. It was a very, very short track, that particular one, from the late, great David Bowie. Okay. How is your afternoon going? I hope everything is all right. Here is a teenage Stevie Wonder.
Make my baby cry, and it's alright, but I can't do she says, baby, everything is all right. Upside, clean on inside. Baby, everything is all right. Upside, clean on inside. Baby, everything is all right. Upside, yeah. Baby, everything is all right.
FM 89.0 independent community media. Stevie Wonder from 1965. Yes, he was still a teenager, and of course everything's all right. It is just on 1 o'clock. Great Motown music. Well, we're celebrating Billy Mummy's birthday today. He played the one and only Will Robinson in that very camp television series. Irwin Allen produced it. He had done Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and other series, Land of the Giants, and of course he did The Towering Inferno, but he's most famous because June Lockhart died last year at the age of 100, and one of the most campiest sayings in Lost in Space was this.
I cannot accept that course of action. My computer is the best on earth. Does not compute. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Oh, yeah, we remember it. Billy Mummy is 72 today. It is 2 minutes past 1 o'clock. Let's go back to 1956. The late Yul Brynner and Deborah Carr.
Just been introduced, I do not know you well. But when the music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied. Shall we dance on a bright cloud of music? Shall we fly? Shall we dance? Shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye? Or perchance, when the last little star has left the sky, shall we still be together with our arms around each other? And shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen, shall we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
Shall we dance?
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is Shall We Dance, Deborah Carr and Yul Brynner. We're going back to the infamous cricket, which happened this day in 1981. The delivery was legal at the time, but not in the spirit of the game. New Zealand Prime Minister Robert Muldoon called the underarm ball an act of true cowardice. His Australian counterpart, Malcolm Fraser, agreed that it was contrary to the traditions of the game. Yes, the most disgusting incident he can recall in the history of cricket. It remembers me of there have been a lot of incidents in cricket, even Bodyline. Remember Bodyline? It's 5 past 1 o'clock, 5 past 1. Hey, did you notice in the news this week that a certain New Zealand group are reforming? Yes, our own Splittians are reforming. Has that shocked you? Well, this was in the papers today. The two brothers from Te Awamutu. Here we go. Splittians, the iconic New Zealand band returning for the first performance in nearly 20 years, headline the Electric Avenue Festival, Christchurch, February 2026, the Forever Ends Tour features Tim Finn, Neil Finn, Eddie Rayner and Noel Crombie celebrating the 50th anniversary of their debut album, Mental Notes. And they will be playing in Christchurch February 27 and 28. Yes, our own iconic band, of course, links with Te Awamutu in Cambridge, 6 months in a leaky boat. They're one of the greatest hits. I've just been reminded that there is skateboarding on down in the square, Garden Place, right in front of the City Council building. Get down there in the heat. Take plenty of water with you. Get your skateboards out. Young and old. Saw them practice last night and this morning. So if you want some skateboarding this afternoon, get the kids into the car and get down to Garden Place outside the City Council building. Do whatever you have to do on your skateboard. Get aboard. It is 11 minutes past one. Standing by to bring in Noel Driscoll. Mel Driscoll. Noel on my mind. I know. I knew a Noel Driscoll somewhere. Mel Driscoll will join us very, very shortly. Just another reminder, too, that... Just back to the Split Ends reunion. It's in Christchurch. It's on February the 26th and 27th. It is 50 years since the iconic release of their album Mental Notes. So, sadly, one of the original members is now deceased, but the basis of the group, even the Noel Crombie, who made all their costumes, is there with Eddie Rayner and the Finn Brothers. So if you're heading to Christchurch in February, go along and see them. Book your plane right now. Iconic New Zealand songs. Here's one from the late Peter Cape.
Take my money, take my money.
No, that's not Peter Cape. That is Ebony and Big Norm. We don't want that one. Peter Cape was a New Zealand singer-songwriter and folk artist, and he released some very iconic songs, even one that I myself can't even pronounce. I'll leave it to Peter Cape.
Mary Joker on the hilltop playing a flute. Cooler than Goodman, boy, he was beaut. And the thought that he thought in between each toot was Tamata Fokka Tangi Hanga Ko Wa 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 Tamate A Pokai Whenui Kita Na Tahu. Soon the Maori Sheilas come and gather round, hitch up the pew pew and sit on the ground. Men, they say, you'll send me what's that new sound? And he says, Tamata Fokka Tangi Hanga Ko Wa 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 Tamate A Pokai Whenui Kita Na Tahu. Then these Maori jokers meet another race. Along comes the Pākehā with the whitewashed face. Hey, they say to the Maori, what you call this place? And they say, Tamata Fokka Tangi Hanga Ko Wa 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 Tamate A Pokai Whenui Kita Na Tahu. I farm a station up in South Hawke's Bay. Get tired out of mustering every day, but never get as tired as I do when I say Tamata Fokka Tangi Hanga Ko Wa 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 Tamata Ya Pokai Whenua Kita Na Tahu.
What's that, mate?
Oh, crikey. Tamata Fokka Tangi Hanga Ko Wa 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 Tamate A Pokai Whenua Kita Na Tahu.
3FM 89.0. There we are. Peter Cape. Don't ask me to pronounce it. Well, it's the birthday today, the late Don Everly. And in 1981, they got back together again to sing a Paul McCartney song. This is the Everly Brothers and a song called On the Wings of a Nightingale. And it should come up right now.
When I love, I get a feeling like I'm traveling through the sky. On the wings of a nightingale. As I ride, my head is reeling, but I don't even. Thinking of you and me.
FM 89.0 Independent Community Media, and that is Haere Mai. It's 20 past one. Haere Mai to Mel Driscoll. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Beautiful summer's day again.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very warm out there.
Yeah, well, it's warm. It's even warmer for the ones who are competing. Skateboards galore. They're going flat tack till 6 o'clock this evening in the public space outside the Hamilton City Council building. There are daring demonstrations of skateboarders defying gravity. How do you practice such manoeuvres without injury? So many falls. Wade Freeman, have you had a few?
Yeah, we've had a few in my life, bro. We've been through the ringer.
How did you first get into skateboards?
I started skateboarding back in the late 80s. I know it's a bit of a while ago now, but my parents brought me my first board when I was about 3 or 4 years old. And then, yeah, just from there on in, I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the individuality of the sport, and once I turned about 10 or 11, I started to take it a little bit more seriously.
And the evidence of where that's led is what you're doing today. Tell us.
Yes, I am. So we came down to Hamilton. We've opened up our first skate school. So we teach the youth around Hamilton how to skate and, you know, more about the life lessons as well that skateboarding teaches you. So we are called Trade School, and we're involved in the Waipara District Council as well as involved with the Hamilton District Council now too.
So this is organised, not unlike skating used to be.
Yeah, look, the council approached us, and I've got a group of guys behind me that I wouldn't be able to do this without them. That's the Hamilton Skate Association. So, you know, we've got hands out the back that have organised ramps and prizes, and, you know, and we put on a lesson for the kids yesterday. So we really just have done this to build it for the community.
Is Mayor Tim there?
What was that, sorry?
Is Mayor Tim there on a skateboard?
The Mayor of Hamilton.
Yes.
That's great. You've brought it out of the closet that it once was in. Do you remember those days when it had a poor reputation? People hanging around darkened parks with their skateboards and... Do you remember those days? People wondered, was it worth spending public money in a skateboard context out at Melville there? There was debate around that. Quite controversial it was.
Yes, there was. There was a lot of debate around Melville. And I think that, you know, over the years, skaters have been brushed with a brush that was not quite correct. So this is also about changing the perception of skateboarding in the community as well, because now it being an Olympic sport, we have a lot more people jumping on the board and just showing, I guess, the local community that we're not a bunch of rat bags that, you know, destroy everything. We are a bunch of good people.
It was either you or bungee jumping.
What was that? Sorry, pardon?
Bungee jumping was popular at the time too.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Absolutely.
I think probably, Wade, every local authority had one or two councillors who said they want money spent on digging a hole in the ground, putting concrete in. How much is that going to cost? Oh, it'll be a waste of money. It'll only be a passing phase, and they'll end up with all these concrete areas and no one using them.
Absolutely, yes. But no, Hamilton's got a very, very thriving skateboard community. It's a very, very supportive skating community too. Everyone knows everyone. You know, you go down to your local skate park, even if you've never been there before or you're just learning to skate, there's going to be someone there that's going to help you. You know, I guess the perception of, you know, when you first start skateboarding, going down the skate park and everyone giving you a bit of stick because you can't do this, you can't do that, it very rarely happens. More skaters are supportive of other skateboarders these days, so it's a really good community-built sport now.
Is it hard to learn?
It is probably, I would say, probably one of the hardest sports in the world to learn.
You mean you fall off so much that you're more off the board than you are on?
Yep, that's it.
That's you the
really
beginner.
I guess for the kids and what I enjoy teaching them is being able to still skate while in fear and you know, still being able to mentally push yourselves through those limits. And I think that a lot of that, you know, goes out to your wider life as well and further on in life, you know, the way that you've got to, you know, go over and over again to learn tricks and things like that, it really helps with things later on in life. And you see a lot of skateboarders that come through and are very successful in businesses because they know they need to fail in order to succeed.
Would you say that skateboarding is a cousin to the surf and surf riding?
Yeah, it's well, obviously, you know, that's where skateboarding started. Skateboarding came from obviously when they had no waves, they started to skate in the backyard pools and things like that. And skateboarding and surfing really separated once skateboarders realised that we could go backwards.
And of course, and of course, we saw Michael J. Fox on a form of skateboard in one of the Back to the Future movies.
Oh. Favourite movie of all time.
Yeah.
He was on his hoverboard too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did they really work or was that just Steven Spielberg?
Well, there has been talk of such a hoverboard that does exist, but never seen one myself.
Wade, is it attracting a lot of attention down there near Garden Place?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of people standing around. Like, you know, there's a lot of people watching, coming through. We've got probably about 100 to 150 skaters down here at the moment right now.
And
we've just had the under-12s competition run through, and we've got the girls up at the moment.
And have you got time to get it all finished, what you intended to do today? What time will that be?
We will go, so the big finale, which is always, you know, the open men's, that will kick off at about 4.30, 5 o'clock this evening, and that'll carry through to about 6, 6.30, and we have some very good skaters in that open men's competition, which would, if people want to come down and watch, that'll be the big calling card to come down and see them go for it.
The temperature's already in the high 20s. Have you got plenty of water down there for the people participating?
Plenty of water, plenty of shade, you know, plenty of everything down here.
Good.
So we're all set for everyone.
Wade Freeman, thanks for what you're doing for the skateboarding.
It's a pleasure. Hey, I might come past you when I'm got a break from this place this afternoon.
Perfect. We'll see you down here then, eh?
I was down with Dwayne. You were talking to Dwayne yesterday, and thanks to him, he set up this interview for us. Thank you, Dwayne. He's going to kill me later. 27 past one. Thank you, mate. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Bye. Free FM 89.0. Back to serious things. Well, the things going on in Minneapolis has led the boss, Bruce Springsteen, to record a song. And, of course, Bruce Springsteen has come to the notice of Donald J. Trump. They don't like each other. He's right. He's the boss's leftist and doesn't like Donald Trump at the moment. This is the latest hit from the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
The winter's ice and cold down Nicollet Avenue. A city of flame, fought fire and ice, neath an occupied.
Hello, Gary. We're all set. Boots.
King Trump's private army from the DHS, guns belted to their coats, came to Minneapolis to enforce the law, or so their story goes. Against smoke and rubber bullets. In the dawn's early light, citizens stood for justice, their voices ringing through the night. And there were bloody footprints where mercy should have stood, and two dead left to die on snow-filled streets, Alex Pretty and Renee. Pretty lay in the snow dead. Their claim was self-defense, sir. Just don't believe your eyes. It's our blood and bones and these whistles and phones against Miller and Noam's dirty lies. Of Minneapolis.
There we are. That is number one in America at the moment. That is Bruce Springsteen. That's called The Streets of Minneapolis. It's kind of a follow-up to the Streets of Philadelphia song he did a couple of decades ago.
It's a grave risk to force an adversary into a corner, especially not if it be a heavily armed, possibly nuclear-armed nation, offered no obvious honourable way out, and each led by diametrically opposed supreme leaders, whose characters are shaped by so different circumstances, it's hard to imagine what they've got in common. An austere Ayatollah and a playboy president both profess to be infallible, so tolerate no opposition to their own policies. Both have made past moves with the effect of destabilizing an already dysfunctional Middle East with no end in sight yet. Gary Schofield is our correspondent, watching a very volatile world crisis pending the outcome of negotiations with its flotilla of warships. The United States issues Iran an ultimatum, poised to strike if the president so commands. Gary Schofield.
I think that you've chosen well the analogy of being in a box. It seems to me that both sides are in a box. So on the one hand, you've got the president that has escalated the rhetoric to such a degree that it may look as if it's an existential threat to Iran. But on the other side, when Iran sees an existential threat, it will respond with all of its force. That's a most likely outcome when faced with these decisions. So we've got an armada, we've got a set of, as you say, they're more like ultimatum than they are just a capitulation for a deal. So I did say last week that we often, in our strategic sense, and this is a geostrategic decision to do this, make our worst mistake after our second worst mistake. This could be a terrible mistake. If you cast your mind back to June, when that war between Israel, and Israel will be involved in this because Iran can easily bring Israel into this conflict should there be a strike from the United States with the carrier group, for example. So if you've got such a knife-edge situation and it does go to conflict, the war in June, in my opinion, looking at all the evidence, was stopped because those missiles, which are hypersonic, can get through the Iron Dome. And so Israel is vulnerable. So I would suspect that Benjamin Netanyahu does not want this conflict. Would not be necessarily good for Israel and can get out of hand very easily. We also have other interests. This is Turkey's interest. This is Russia's interest. There are a lot of countries involved in that region. And it may well be that the strategic decision is to look and deny China again access to that oil like they have done or are attempting to do in Venezuela. But I wonder if it isn't a more personal involved decision. You may realize that the President Trump was the target of an assassination attempt. He may take that very seriously. And this is in what they say in response to his assassination of General Soleimani. So there may be personal decisions, but either way, we've got to this Brinksman situation that is on a knife-edge precipice for the entire region. Not the least to mention is that involvement in the Middle East, which the United States has been dragged into the Middle East over decades now, will consume, for example, the THAAD missiles. We went through at least 25% of those defending Israel. So it can be taking away from projection of power in other sectors, the Indo-Pacific, the Pacific. This is also happening with Starmer and his loss of the Chagres Islands and all these other little pieces of territory like Darwin that we might want back. while Greenland is negotiated, this is a great geopolitical picture, and it may be resolved by a Middle Eastern strike, and the result may not be beneficial.
On the other hand, too, good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, and I'm sorry to have included the universe and the world into that one long paragraph, but I wanted to cover everything without leaving out the important bit for and your learned listeners.
Hey, that is good. On the other hand, too, a Russian ship has been confiscated. It's now at dock in the Firth of Moray in Scotland. And Keir Starmer kind of capitulated to Trump. The Scottish First Minister, John Sweeney, is not happy about it because the United Kingdom didn't have a talk to him about this. So this ship at the moment is in the port of Moray in Scotland at the moment because it faces the Atlantic Ocean. So a Russian ship has been confiscated, Gary.
Yes, and these all serve to remind us that this is a global conflict and it can easily escalate. This would be one vehicle of escalation right there, especially if we end up faced with some of our ships seized. Yeah. Or who knows how this what the retaliation can be. At the moment, it seems like more of a stalemate situation, speaking, I'd say, on the Ukraine war.
Yeah.
However, you know, it's a war of attrition.
Yeah.
And who knows, it isn't over territory when it's a war of attrition. It's over casualties. And this is a dreadful way to resolve a conflict. So I would hope that any peace negotiation does get started up again, but that before there are other tankers seized and we have an international crisis. You know, remember back into the Cold War, when the world was on a knife edge. And it was very wary about escalating another nuclear power to any level.
I've just played The Streets of Minneapolis by Bruce Springsteen. It's his number one song in America at the moment, and he and Trump are having a battle of words at the moment, and I just listened to the lyrics just before we came on air. I don't know if you've heard the song through, but
I have.
It's a good song. I love it.
Everything he does is great. And he's a wonderful artist. And isn't it amazing the power and the strength of art?
Yeah.
So art, poetry, music, lyricists, I mean, all the ways in which you can influence political power. Yeah. On a huge scale.
Hey, just like you. You
never underestimate. That's like my own personal interest.
You're a brilliant musician yourself. So, the boss, he's hitting back. And, of course, as I said,
well, thank you for that. The only political thing I've ever put in my music is that we're warming up our planet.
And, of course, Tom Homan has come in as the new boss in Minneapolis, and people are not liking that. So look out, the riots will continue. And the other guy has been removed. And what got me is he was wearing a Nazi-type overcoat, and that's what people got sick of. They were angry. He looked like a Nazi walking up and down the street, all 5 foot four of them.
Well, image is important.
Should we have joined?
I did want your opinion on the rejection of the United States' request for New Zealand to join the Board of Peace.
I think Luxon is under siege at the moment from Winston Peters because we've got a free trade agreement with India, and Mr. Peters is not happy.
Yes.
So I think Luxon is under pressure because
I think he's under pressure too. Do you think that it is a good decision or a bad, just as a matter of opinion?
I had a chat to an Indian bus driver this morning coming into town. He's happy. I'm happy about it. What is wrong with some of our New Zealand politicians? It may bring us benefits. We can have more people from India coming in. They're lovely people. So what is Winston Peters worried about? He's not the Minister of Trade. He's the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Maybe Todd McClay didn't talk to him. But it's...
I meant the council or the Board of Peace.
Which is
an international club. And, you know, you've got Trump saying, well, you know, the United Nations power is over, basically. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's trying to put in a new world order for those that are going to move along with it. This is ostensibly only for Gaza, but it could build into something else. And I just wondered if we do really, as a country, disapprove of this. It's like some club that you don't like, and you don't like where it's going, but if you're not part of it, you don't have a say. And we, as a country, have a great tradition of having a say much stronger than the strength of our country.
Yeah.
And that is one of our diplomatic strengths. So I wonder if we might have lost an opportunity to be part of that.
I'm sorry, but that border, whatever it is full of dictators. I'm glad Luxembourg said no to a border full of dictators.
Yes, but now it's a border of dictators without our voice.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm still interested in the United Nations. Maybe they've made mistakes in the past. But
I'm a big fan.
Oh yeah, yes. I'm pleased.
That's what we need: more international law, not less.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, always nice to have a challenge of opinions on this show.
Yeah.
We cover both sides.
I'm talking to a diplomat, remember? So. Hey, what is Stuart saying? What's Stuart's voice at the moment? What's he saying? Is he noticing any change in lifestyle for some of the people around his area?
I would say, and just an anecdote, this is a statistical determined thought, a lot of downturn and people losing opportunities, losing their jobs, including, you know, like within my own family.
Yeah.
So maybe because of a weakening, or there's been lots of layoffs in the Washington, D.C. area. So the job opportunities that Stuart is seeking, you know, may be more of a challenge to get. That's what he fears and worries about.
Yeah.
And it is common amongst my other friends, and of course, they're involved in the Environmental Protection Agency and they've lost their jobs. And there are lots of things happening in D.C. that is not making it as prosperous. And by the way, this is a perception just from my own context. I don't know if it's true. But that is a big worry for Stuart.
Yeah, of course. The unemployment is happening with some of these lawyers who have been working for Trump. They do not want to do what Trump wants within the Attorney General's office. I heard Todd Blanche this morning, and he was asked the question, why are all these lawyers leaving? He just walked off the stage. He never answered the question. So,
and as you know, we should all be feeling terribly sorry for lawyers.
They don't want any part of it. They've been ordered to make up false claims against certain people, and of course this includes Don Lemon, who was arrested.
I saw the arrest.
I don't think he did anything wrong. He was only there reporting. They're making up so much stories about this, and I think Don Lemon will be the next one to get off scot-free, as they say. No, it's and these lawyers are leaving in big amounts. So yeah,
there has been one success, though. I would like to bring up a success that's tangible, and you'll remember in the geopolitical game, and I hate to use the word, that we play. The Panama Canal was bought on both sides by Hong Kong, which is, of course, a proxy for China. That legislation has now been repudiated by Panama. So this was a big concern for the Trump administration, that they did not want to lose the control of the Panama Canal in a time of war or peace to China. And that has been a success, probably related to the Venezuela illegal kidnapping.
Yeah.
However, that would be still considered to be a success for that geopolitical decision.
And finally, I've seen the latest 3 million drop files, the Epstein files, and some of them are not pleasant reading. I've seen them on left-wing media, and Trump has featured in them, and some of the things he's done, allegedly, I have to say that, but he's featured in the Epstein files, and all I'm going to say It made me sick of some of the things he's alleged he had done. I don't know if you've seen any of them.
Actually, I haven't. I was surprised that out of 3 million releases, we only really had a picture of Prince Andrew in a closed position. I thought we must have, surely, something a bit more substantive than that. But I didn't realize that there was a whole trove of Trump files from Epstein. So I will research that for next week and make sure that I'm, you know, familiar with what is alleged.
And there's photographs and video there, and Elon Musk is also featured in them too. So
yes, I did see that. And again, you know, at the outset, I brought up this very important point that I think is overlooked. Should it be true that Epstein really has this much control and so central in the social life and the potential blackmail of all these very powerful and important people, that the question should be asked is what influence has happened and who is he working for? You know, why don't we ask those questions? And surely they're amongst these millions of documents.
We'll get back into it next week. Hey, Gary, thank you very much.
Oh, a real pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Going back to Scotland, of course, one of Putin's tankers has been confiscated. It's in the harbour at Moree, near the Atlantic Ocean. But also in Scotland, up in Aberdeen, there is a phenomenon called the Northern Lights, and it's beaming green, it's green, red, and all sorts of colours right at this present moment. FM 89.0. Yes, the Aurora Borealis is bright with green and red and all sorts of colours in the north of Scotland at the moment. The Northern Lights of Aberdeen, Robert Wilson and the late Jimmy Shand.
Duane Porter is here with his report on shipping. It was a busy day yesterday at the port of Tauranga. two ships called on the port. What were they, Ben?
They were the Vulcan one, came in the same day to head towards Tokyo, and also we got the passenger liner boat, which arrived in to Port Tauranga, and she sailed straight to Auckland, from Wellington to Auckland. So, and then we got another one, a load of logs that is coming in from Napier to heading towards to China. Also, we're bounded for more logs, and we've got another one coming in from Lyttelton, which is actually berthing from Lyttelton to Tauranga and then down towards Napier Way.
It's a busy time in the ports, Dwayne.
Yes, it is, Bruce. It is a busy time. You know, like, I never knew of how they actually import vegetable oil from Fiji or Australia. And when I got told that over in Fiji there's an island which has this sort of vegetable oil, which is, they class it as cooking oil. So,
Is it cooking oil?
Yeah, it's cooking oil. So what they do is they make it into like a cooking oil thing. So it's in the substances that are got a big evaporating tanks that they divert them straight through. So that's when people get, so that's when you see at the supermarkets, is you got three or four different types of vegetable oil. Then straight on towards the damaged vehicles, had a good turnout auction coming up tomorrow. Let's see, I've got a big list in front of me down in Tamanui. We've got the Suzuki outboard motor, IKEA mower, a Holden Cruise, Nissan Navara Ute drill, double cab over in Tauranga. We've even got that caravan which was involved in that big floods. Yes. It's coming up for auction. Also got a Toyota Celica was stolen, recovered and burnt out in Hamilton. We've got a Toyota, we've got three vehicles that were up for auction last week under the hammer that didn't even get sold. So then we have to turn around and re-tender that one for tomorrow. So, yep, if anyone goes onto our website called manheim.co.nz, put your bidding price in, and if you're one of the top lucky ones that you brought a car, feel free to just follow the procedure on our list. And a pretty well good auction day and everything. So
yep, more next week at 2:06. Just to remind you what happened this day in February 1, 1981. Just another reminder. It was coming up. Here we go.
The ball underarm along the ground. After stating their intentions, Trevor delivered the ball, which was blocked by McKechnie. The record crowd of almost 53,000 erupted into a roar of disapproval, something most sportsmen thought they had never seen. Reaction from a normally partisan media was extraordinary and stinging, to say the least. Newspaper headlines, editorials, even cartoons made no bones in conveying that they thought the incident was shameful. They all claimed Australia's sporting image, notorious for a fair go, had suffered untold harm.
Yes, and Sir Robert Muldoon called it an act of cowardice. In his own certain way. 2:05. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. Well, we all know about the disaster at Mount Maunganui. Floods in other parts of the country. Roads closed, slips, you name it. When I was growing up, you never heard of things like that happening. The world was a different place. Why don't people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk get together and forget about Mars, the moon, no life up there. There's life on Earth. We'll never find another planet, not in our solar system or any other. Spend all that money that you're going to use for going into space and the moon and there, and put it towards saving the world.
Yeah.
Find our solutions to combat pollution and make it a cleaner world, bring back the way the world was weather-wise.
Sadly, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, I don't think they're talking at the moment. They've fallen out big time.
Well,
and,
Donald Trump doesn't believe in global warming for a start.
I don't know what's going to happen in America. It is a powder keg. We've had two murders. We've had the Epstein files released, another pile. So 3 million, and there's more to come. So I think America's in the... It's in a dictatorship at the moment. And I blame the Americans for voting for Donald Trump.
It's hard to believe. It's like some sort of a disaster movie.
Yep, and that's why I played the Bruce Springsteen song earlier. It's a good song. I might play it again next week. And no cyclists along your way?
No, I haven't seen one for about 3 weeks.
Hey, Milton.
That was late at night in black, riding on the footpath. Lights.
Anyway, hey, it's 3 minutes to two. That's us for today. Thank you for being part of our day here at Free FM. Hey, what are you doing Sunday? Get down to... in front of the City Council building, go skateboarding. There you are, Trevor. Get on your skateboard. You'd be the oldest skateboard in town, skateboarder in town. You better get down there, mate. You're gonna hit down there on your skateboard?
I couldn't imagine it.
Anyway, have fun down there. Might come to go down and see you later in the day. That's what you're doing Sunday. Next up is Harmony Waikato. Bye-bye for now.
All their friends bring pretty flowers while a band plays a happy tune. Now do you want me? Do you need me? Do you love me like
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.